You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Sitting to our left was Michael Shannon, who's become synonymous with Atlanta in the last year or so.
Yeah, didn't he do a set with REM?
Yeah,
he has a REM tribute band.
And really into it. I mean, he was dancing the whole time, and there's nothing like watching Michael Shannon dance.
Hey, everybody. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I just threw away the last of my macaroni and cheese that I made that I really enjoyed this year because I asked ChatGPT if I should eat it. It said, no, Listeria. That was almost a week ago, you dummy. Throw it out. So I threw it away. Thank you, ChatGPT, for saving my life. And thank you, Grok, for wasting hours and hours of my time. Speaking of holidays, we have our first... I think this is probably the first real big Christmas event of the season. Why, it's Radio Labyrinth. We're all getting together. I call it a hootenanny. Jeff doesn't like the hootenanny thing, so we'll just call it a get-together. Tomorrow, since today, the show comes out on the 6th, December 7th from 1 to 4 at Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers. We've been there so many times. We look forward to going out there and eating some delicious food and sharing kef with everyone. You have to be a Dark Tower fan to understand that. But we will share your kef, and you can share your kef, and make sure your kef is a dessert. Jeff will be there with his cookies, I hope. You're going to make the Ritz cookies, Jeff?
I don't know.
You better. We hope you can all come out. Dustin, you went out, I guess, what was it, last night, and you saw David Byrne. I completely forgot David Byrne was doing a couple of shows in Atlanta. Tell us about the show. I saw him the last time he was here, and that was a number of years ago, and it was a fantastic show. But you saw him, and you sat next to a famous dude.
I went with my brother, Broen. We sat right in front of the soundboard, which is the best seat in the house in the Fox most of the time. Now, this was David Byrne's new tour, which has him and not a conventional band. They're more like 12 Juilliard graduates who are, you know, a third of his age, and all of their instruments are on them. So like a marching band, they move around, and the entire performance was choreographed, which was crazy from the beginning to end. And it had a huge 7-screen surround around them that put on these videos during each song. And it was an awesome show. I mean, of course, you know, since he wrote all those Talking Head hits, he gets to do all of those live. So it was fun hearing all those. Sitting to our left was Michael Shannon, who's become synonymous with Atlanta in the last year or so.
Yeah, didn't he do a set with REM?
Yeah,
he has a REM tribute band.
And really into it. I mean, he was dancing the whole time, and there's nothing like watching Michael Shannon dance.
You big dude. He looks like a big dude. Is he?
No, he's not. He's tall, and he's kind of lanky. So,
well, they made him like sort of like a thug in Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
And then of course he played Zod.
Yeah. Right. And that was definitely a bodysuit.
Yeah.
In Zod, because he doesn't unless he's lost that physique in the last 5 or 6 years.
You talked to him?
Did you tell him I said hi?
No. I was going to tell him you said hi, and then when I went to go back to talk to him again after I had texted you guys, he looked at me, and he gave me that Michael Shannon look, and I just didn't want to bother him again.
Well, my friend sent me a text that had also gone to the show, Will, and he was like, hey, now I'm at the bar. You know, it was a great show, but now I'm at the bar with General Zod. And I'm like, did you talk to him? And he's like, no, he's intimidating. Okay.
Yeah, he is. He has that look, that Michael Shannon look of suspicion, just like it, that everybody looks at him. It was kind of funny. Yeah.
He would have softened up if you were like, Lizzie says hi. He would have been like, oh.
Yeah, that would have just brought him right around. But yeah, he looked like he was into it. And I didn't want to, you know, interrupt him.
And to all the listeners out there, if you run into a celebrity and you record yourself saying, Lizzie says hi with that celebrity, and you send us the video, you'll get a free T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yes.
And speaking of your brother, St. Paul and the Broken Bones will be on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon on Monday, December 8th.
Yeah, this coming Monday. So this will be their first time actually on The Tonight Show. And it will.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, you guys are so good.
But this will also complete their little bucket list, because now they'll have done every TV talk show, night show.
They're such a good band.
Since they've got their own label, looks good for them. They're kind of in charge of their career now instead of being led around by a label.
That's great.
Good stuff.
That's great. Well, everybody tune in and watch it. And maybe we'll get them back on the show again.
Yeah, sure.
Warm, weird, wonderful Atlanta. The holidays in Atlanta are humid, but the comedy? Sizzling. That's right, it says sizzling. Get ready for Cooper Andrews Presents Ho Ho Action Show 7. A wild holiday variety spectacular hosted by Action Show Studio, starring the beloved Ass Plus Action Players, and featuring Atlanta's favorite comedic duos, Michael Howell and Kimberly Hamilton, plus John Dottie and Lee Harmer. Harmer, that's how you say the name. I'm not good with names. People know me, know this. Join them at 9 p.m. at the gorgeous historic Limelight Theater, Saturday, December 13th. Tickets are dropping soon at limelight.tix, that's T-I-X, .page. Laugh hard, cheer loud. It's Ho 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 Action Show 7, and our friend Josh will be there, Josh Warren. All right, it is the holiday season. Boop, beep, boop. I have my reindeer sausage playlist, which you can find on my Facebook page. I made it with care and love several years ago. Keep adding to it. It's novelty, it's classics, it's weird, it's bizarre, but it's fun. And Gilbert is my son. That's what we listen to on the way to school in the morning now. And he kept saying the other day, because Jose Feliciano, Feliz Navidad, was playing. And he said, what does that mean, Daddy? And I said, what? And he goes, Feliz Navidad. And I said, that's how you say Merry Christmas in Spanish. And he was so excited that he learned that. So he's been saying that a lot. And
Alistair sings it. Philippe's not your dad.
Oh, I love it.
Philippe's not your dad.
Oh, that's not appropriate.
I love that song. I really got into it in the 80s. I used to call all the stations that started playing Christmas music in December, I would call them all. Play that, play that, play that. And I'd record it. But they played all those songs. And so I thought, well, let's talk about timeout.com's top 10 Christmas specials of all time. Because, you know, it's the music, it's the specials, there's traditions that most of us have. Thankfully, my son's tradition of wanting to watch the Polar Express 6 times a day, he's already tired of it. He said, nah, I don't want to watch it. Oh, okay. Because I want to talk about some of our favorites. And then there's a couple of episodes of quote-unquote modern, and by that I mean the last 25 years, specials from series that I really like. And feel free to interrupt me. I'm gonna be looking at the list, so I can't see you guys all that well, but let's talk about the top 10 specials of all time according to Time Out magazine. Time Out, of course, is a wonderful website, and let's give them their plug. It starts with number 10 from 1974, The Year Without a Santa Claus. Now that's the one with Mickey Rooney, but Santa has a cold, and he thinks that nobody cares about it anymore. And
no, it's Jingle Jangle.
What's Jingle Jangle?
They're the ones that are left in charge.
Okay, yeah. Because Vixen ends up in a dog pound. I remember that. I haven't seen this one in a long, long time.
It's crazy. I mean, it's watching it now. It's like, really? It's like, why would they do this? Yeah, it was Heat Miser and.
Yeah, but that's one I haven't seen, so maybe I'll watch that one. And it's not one that I'm going to watch, but the next one is one I watch every year if I can. Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
That's a great one.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
1977.
I'm still salty about him putting that hole in the bucket.
In the wash tub.
Yeah. Looking at a hole in the wash tub.
look at the birds up in the trees.
We're not birds, we're a jug band. That came out in 77, but I didn't see it until, it was on HBO in the very early 80s.
Yeah.
And they're going to make I don't know if they're going to, but Brett McKenzie of Flight of the Conchords was supposed to make a new movie.
If anybody could do that, I would trust him with it.
Yeah.
He did all the music for the latest Muppet movie, so he's already got an in with them.
Well, good. Well, maybe they'll make it. The next one I have not seen, and maybe some of you have, the Lego Star Wars Christmas special from 2020. Anybody see that?
I don't know. What's the premise? I might have.
It looks like they just remade, like they do all those Lego games, they remade the Star Wars holiday special with Lego people.
Yes, yeah. It says...
It's only going to make it more interesting.
It reintroduces the concept of Life Day.
Yeah.
God, there's no reason to watch this. If you want that, just watch that really where they're all coked out.
Watch the lady from...
E. Arthur and Art Carney.
They do have the really cool cartoon section in the middle.
Yeah, Boba Fett.
That had the Boba Fett origin story in it, yeah.
But they were all coked up, all those actors. Number 7, A Muppet Family Christmas from 1987. That's another one I've never seen. Because I guess when I was 20, I must have watched it if it came out in 87. Maybe not. I don't know.
I remember that one. They had everybody in Henson's war universe in it. It had Fraggle Rock and...
Yeah, Muppet Baby, Fraggle Rock, Sesame Street, and then from The Muppet Show. So the Kermit and the gang decide to surprise Fozzie's mom at her farmhouse. And then she ends up killing them all because she's a bear. That was my favorite.
No, but the Swedish chef tries to cook Big Bird in that one.
Number 6, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from 1964. I don't know why that's not number 1. That is out of all of them, that's my favorite, Rankin and Bass. And then you have Burl Ives narrating it, Snowman. To me, that's the classic one. And then you have the Abominable Snowman, and then you have Herbie. Is that his name, Herbie?
Yeah, and the Yukon Cornelius.
Yeah, Yukon Cornelius.
Which, do you know when Yukon Cornelius, you know, he'd always throw the pickaxe up in the air and then let it hit the ground, then pick it up and lick it and go, nothing. Yep. You know what he was looking for?
What?
Peppermint.
Peppermint?
That's what he was mining for.
Oh.
So it wasn't ever gold or anything. It was always peppermint. That's what he was licking to see if it was there.
Nothing.
Nothing.
I didn't know that. Number 5, Christmas at Pee-wee's Playhouse from 1988. That was a good one. I remember that. Yeah. I don't know if you can watch these anymore. You must be able to watch this. It had Little Richard in it, Magic Johnson, Grace Jones. That's really interesting. Did you watch that, Jeff, when it came out?
Yeah, I'm sure I did.
Number 4, I can't watch anymore because last year Gil was obsessed with it and I saw it 100 times. Frosty the Snowman from 1969.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, my daughter was obsessed with that too when she was little, and she would cry when it would like melt down when it was over. And it was only like, what, 20 minutes or so?
22 minutes, yeah.
It goes by.
And it'd be like an hour's worth of crying.
Yeah. But it is good. It's just that was always the one that when it would come around, I'm like, okay, we'll get this one out of the way and then the peanuts will be on soon. Number 3, Simpsons roasting on an open fire. That's the first, technically or officially, the first episode of The Simpsons, isn't it?
Was it the holiday special before the series started?
Yeah, 1989. Let's see. But its very first episode establishes much of what we'd come to know as to love about America's favorite family. Bart gets in trouble for singing Jingle Bells at the school pageant, but not as good as Robert Goulet sang it.
Jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg. Batmobile lost its wheel, the Joker got away. Hey!
Gilbert loves that, by the way. I have that on his novelty list. And he runs around the house, jingle bells, Batman smells. But he can't remember the rest of it. But man, that's what kicked it all off after the, the shorts on Tracy Ullman.
And so it was the next Christmas that they got the dog?
Must be.
Because I know they got him real early.
Homer doesn't get his bonus, so he has to do a bunch of side gigs. And then he blows it all at the dog track.
Yeah, so they do get
Santa's Little Helper.
That's where they got Santa's Little Helper. Okay.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas from 1966 is number 2. That is a classic. The movie's not good.
That was a really good one. That one almost is tied up there with Emmett Otter for playing at our house every year, at least one of them, if not both.
The cartoon movie's pretty good. Not the live action.
The one with Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that Scott Mosier produced.
Oh, I imagine that's good then. I haven't seen that one.
He's like nice in it. I mean, he's still the Grinch, but he's like nice.
My son was asking me why he's a Grinch, and I said, I don't know. He's green. Ooh, how can he answer that? And then number one is probably the right choice, A Charlie Brown Christmas from 1965, which if you're Gen X, you grew up watching that every year, and you could only watch it once a year. And when you got VCRs, you could tape it and then watch it again and again and again if you wanted to. And now I think you have to have an Apple Plus, or you have to have an Apple. Is it on Apple?
Yeah, it's exclusively, all of his stuff is exclusively on Apple. Stuff.
Yeah, I can't watch it.
Why? Oh, because it's
I don't have Apple.
Because it's an Apple.
Because she's the reason our text thread turned green.
Yeah. Well, it's segmented. It's segmented on YouTube, or you can find it and download it someplace. Or if you have a VCR, just go buy a VHS tape or a DVD player. Go buy the DVD. I'm going to start doing that. That's one of my things in January. In 2026, I'm going to start buying physical media again. Not like Moneybags Dustin with his 4K every week.
Right, they're digital.
I'm going to buy an 8-track player in 26.
Yeah.
That's a smart choice. I have two 8-track.
Getting a reel-to-reel.
Yeah. I'd rather have a reel-to-reel than an 8-track because I listen to Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell every now and then. And I used to listen to that on 8-track all the time when my mom had it. And it doesn't matter what the songs that I'm listening to, I know where the fade-out was when it went to the next track. So it sticks with me. Just like my mom had Frank Sinatra's Christmas album, and it always skipped during Merry Crit. And I have it, you know, I listen to it streaming and it's in my head. Merry Crit. Hey, Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by the Punchline Comedy Club in Sandy Springs, Georgia, tucked inside of the legendary Landmark Diner. Do you want some more coffee? The Punchline remains Atlanta's longest running premier comedy late night comedy laugh club, where you can get a huge slab of cake or pancakes to satisfy any cravings you have while you are laughing. Coming up at the Punchline, December 4th through the 6th, it's Erica Rhodes, who is very, very funny. You know her from movies and television and stand-up and Prairie Home Companion and not doing our show. On the 6th, you have Steven Taylor and Lou Ferris. On the 10th, Dominic Pupa. He's going to be someday a butterfly. On the 11th, you have Dan Donahoe, or Hugh. The 12th through the 14th, Taylor Williamson. On the 15th, Landon Bryant. And on the 18th, Carter Anderson. Carter Anderson is that comedian. And remember, Patreon members, you can look for that alert each and every week. We only had one person sign up for it this week, so no giveaway. Keep an eye out for a weekly post offering you a chance to win a pair of passes to an upcoming show. Go to punchline.com for tickets and information. Based on this list, what is your one that you're not going to miss, TV special and movie?
I just put Scrooged. I didn't pick one from the list, but if I'd had to, I guess I would. I've watched Emmett Otter's Joke Bear Christmas more than probably any of the other ones.
Yeah. That's your favorite?
Yeah.
And Scrooged, I love watching Scrooged. I can't watch it with Gil, though. Although it's not too dirty, right?
I think you can watch it with Gil.
Yeah?
I don't know. I think a lot of things might go over his head, but there is, like, you know, I don't know how you guys feel about gun violence.
Yeah, at the end with Bobcat.
I can't get the antlers glued onto this little guy. I tried crazy glue, but it don't work.
Have you tried Staples?
Staples?
Well, he's redeemed. Buddy Hackett, you got to be careful with. Although he does like Shapoopy, so maybe he'll go, oh, that's the Shapoopy guy.
Like I said, it was a toss-up, but I'll go with The Grinch Who Stole Christmas for the special. And for the movie, every year we have to watch Christmas Vacation.
What are you looking at?
Oh, the silent majesty of a winter's morn, the clean, cool chill of a holiday air, and an asshole in his bathrobe emptying a chemical toilet into my sewer.
Shitter was full!
Ah, yeah. You checked our shitters, honey?
Clark.
It's kind of a cliche now, but it's cliche for a reason.
Exactly. I watch it every year, but it's not my favorite. But I get it.
My favorite off of that list would be Emmett Otter. And then, I consume a lot of Christmas movies, so this was hard for me to come up with what my favorite is. But I'm going to say A Christmas Carol. And I love the 1951 one with Alistair Sims.
Yes, that's the best.
So that would be third. Next one would be Albert Finney, which is a musical.
That's Christmas a good one.
Carol. Mm-hmm. Then Mickey Mouse's A Christmas Carol. I love that. But the one that I think is really well made that I love watching, I mean, I love watching all of them, but my favorite one is Disney's Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey.
Okay.
That's really good. Y'all should check it out.
How about the Mr. Magoo one?
Mr. Magoo.
The what?
There's a Mr. Magoo one that they used to show all the time.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
It's difficult to find. I think Charlie's in it.
Mr. Magoo, Mr. Magoo.
Yeah.
Mr. Magoo, I loved Mr. Magoo, but I watched that one every year when it was on. It's pretty good animation, but it's a good one if you can find it. Probably it's on YouTube. And then the other one that is probably very difficult to find, but you might be able to find it on YouTube, that I used to watch every year, The Rich Little, where he plays all the characters and does impressions of people. And Ebenezer Scrooge is W.C. Fields.
That'd be
and
cool.
Yeah, they don't show that anymore. It was in syndication for a long time, but I used to love Rich Little. So I guess on my list here, Charlie Brown Christmas is my favorite. It's a perfect half hour of Christmas special. And then my holiday movie that I watch every year is Trading Places. Absolutely my favorite.
You were in Nam, so were we. Where?
I was in Sang Bang, Dangang.
Those men wanted to have sex with me.
Merry New Year!
Happy New Year. In this country, we say Happy New Year.
Thank you for correcting my English with Steve.
John Landis movie. It's a very funny comedy. I think they didn't talk about it enough in the Eddie Murphy documentary, which was a lot different than I expected it to be. He's interesting, but they didn't really focus super much on his career. Did you guys watch it yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot of his, I don't know, I thought there'd be more clips and stuff, but it was about Eddie Murphy, and I learned a lot about him, and I still like him a lot. I love Arsenio, so I'm glad he was in it, too. There's a lot, every 70s show and 80s sitcom has, or show, has a memorable moment. You know, a Christmas episode that you remember something from, or even the 90s. 2000s, my two favorites, and I love all the South Park ones, too, which I hope they do another one, but I don't know, they're talking politics too much. I'm all caught up, by the way. Those episodes are great. The Sopranos season 3 episode 10, To Save Us All from Satan's Power, is one of my favorites because they make Bobby Boccalieri be Santa Claus and he doesn't want to. And the reason he has to do it is because they just killed Pussy Bompancero, who did it every year, but they killed him the year before. Spoiler alert. And so they make Bobby do it, and he's like, I'm shy. Shyness is a curse. Remember that line? So he's doing the Santa Claus. And he keeps fighting him. And the great line from that is Paulie Walnuts going, the boss of his family told you you're going to be Santa Claus. You're Santa Claus. So shut the fuck about it. And then the little kid, because he's a dick to all the kids, and he goes, hey, you were already here. No, I wasn't. Yes, you were. And the little kid goes, fuck you, Santa. A great holiday cheer there. And then, have y'all seen this? Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Season 3, Episode 11, T-shirt of the Living Dead.
I've seen it.
There's a T-shirt that's owned by the Egyptian god Anubis, and Meatwad gets it. And so he does all sorts of things. But they bring Santa Claus there, and he ends up being horribly deformed. He's disfigured, and, oh, I'm in pain. So they have to take the sleigh out and deliver all the gifts.
I'd love to have been in the writing room when they were coming up.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. You guys have any? Just one-offs, things like that?
We had some radios weigh in on stuff, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. On Facebook page, Bryce said Christmas Vacation is their favorite movie. My wife Tanya and I went to see it in the theater on our first date 36 years ago, and we watch it every year. That is amazing.
Yeah,
that is
cool.
Congratulations.
That's cute.
Brandon says, my kids love Nightmare Before Christmas. That's a good movie. And he also likes Trading Places. And where are we? We're all in the debate that, you know, Die Hard is a Christmas movie, right? So is Gremlins. They're both Christmas movies.
First Blood. Yeah.
Yes. What?
The police station is all decked out for Christmas.
Oh, wow. Maybe they forgot to take them down and it's in January.
But that's probably too.
Terry Joe Kennedy. Terry Joe Kennedy. Love Actually.
That's one of my favorites for. But it used to not be. Like, I used to be like, this movie's dumb. And then it's like every year that goes by, I'm like, oh, I got to watch Love Actually. Like, it just, you know, things become.
Yeah, it's
nostalgic.
Yeah.
Over time. And yeah. You actually start liking it because of the nostalgia.
Yeah, it's got some great, funny characters in it, too.
No, it's a good movie. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of storylines in it. Alan Rickman's a freaking dick in it.
Yeah.
Yes. Aye. Close your mind. I love Alan Rickman. Rest in peace, Alan Rickman. He was so good.
Yeah.
Now, he's been in 2 Christmas movies. Then yeah, Love Actually and Die Hard.
Yep. Oh, God, don't shoot me. Don't shoot me. Bill Clay. I just got a text from our friend Stu, who is seeing Dr. Dirty John Valby.
Oh, no way.
Weird. Yeah, in Florida. The guy looks like he's 1,000 years old. But yeah, he had some good Christmas songs. It's beginning to look a lot like syphilis. Anyway, from the Patreon page, The Walkman says, A Christmas Story for sure, which, of course, that's a great movie. It's a Wonderful Life, another great movie. I love it. The black and white version, if you're watching the color, you got problems. Home Alone 1 and 2 as well, especially the scene where Marv gets shocked, he says. But I love both 1 and 2. Those are great movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gil would be able to watch Home Alone 1.
Oh, my gosh. He would laugh so hard.
I bet he would. It's special to me because I didn't watch it when it was in the theaters, I don't think, unless Jeff and I went and saw it. But I watched it one day with my grandpa Andrew, who's my granddad, and the whole time, and he didn't really laugh an awful lot at stuff on TV. I mean, he laughed, but not on TV. But he laughed the whole movie, and that made me happy. And then he loved the ending. Kevin KJ says, I must be that guy and say it, Die Hard. Yes, it's a Christmas movie because Christmas is a part of the story and it's not just something happening in the background. And he's absolutely correct. He also says Christmas Vacation is a yearly must. Fun fact for you Atlanta radio people, when Axel Lowe took over as program director at Rock 100.5 and they started playing songs during the show, I sent him a strongly worded email using Clark's rant as my template. I guess because it wasn't Christmas time, he complimented me on my creativity, not knowing the email was plagiarized. Ah, right. We don't know Dick. Scrooged is another favorite. So is Bad Santa. But I can't just throw. Bad Santa is very funny.
Yes. It is funny. Have y'all seen Violent Night? That's a good one.
Yeah,
it's good.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that's become, we've watched that the past 2 years. So that's become our rotation.
Mike Hall says Christmas Vacation, Home Alone, and Bad Santa. So we're seeing it. Roby says, by the way, that he hates Polar Express, and I agree. Mike Hall says Polar Express is a good movie, but it will be annoying after too many viewings. At least Eddie Deason is the voice of the annoying geek kid. Yeah, that's the best for me. Rest of them are Tom Hanks. Brett Perkins says The Ref. It reminds him of his dysfunctional Christmases when he was a kid.
That's a funny movie.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Radio Labyrinth has sponsors. In fact, we have 2 delightful sponsors I'd like to tell you about right now. The first one being our longest sponsor, Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, proudly serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is the place to be, proudly serving you the best pizza and euros in the city. They're the place to be this fall. They have a huge selection of local Georgia and Southeast craft beers on tap, as well as many others available in bottles and cans. Their featured selection for fall is Scofflaw Brewing's Oktoberfest. Come out and enjoy a tasty ice-cold brew and some fantastic food made fresh to order. And I can attest to that. Their food is amazing. I'm talking about some of the best gyros, pizzas, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Stop by Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m. and Saturdays from noon to 9 p.m. And they are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia, and that's always fun, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Their food truck is also available. So if you're interested, call Mike at 770-483-6228 for more details or to schedule your private or corporate event. And Mike says, thanks for listening to the best podcast around. Thank you, Mike, and for all your business and continued support. We're also brought to you by LDI Repro Printing. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005, which, if you're like me and good at math, is 20 years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366, or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com. We're done talking about these holiday movies. Do we have enough time for you guys to talk about the show that I'm not watching, which is Stranger Things? How many
Stranger Things to me now is holiday. Stranger Things season 5 will now be considered a holiday special in my mind.
Is it taking place during Christmas?
No. Well, no, it's taking place in November. But the fact that it's coming, it came out on Thanksgiving, and then the next one will come out on Christmas.
Christmas Day.
And then the next will be New Year's.
And how many episodes did they drop at the first?
Was it 4?
4.
4.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys all watched them all?
Yep.
I've watched them twice, some of them 3 times.
Why do they all look like they're 40 now?
Because they are. I mean, they are. No, they're in their early 20s.
They did CGI anti-aging.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, so Nancy, who plays the, you know, she's out of high school now, but when she started, she was like a junior in high school.
This is Nancy, the skinny one?
Yeah.
Yeah, the older sister. Yeah.
She's the one I ran into in Cabbage Town, because the guy that worked at Littles did vinyl T-shirts, and we made a Radio Labyrinth one that looked like the Stranger Things logo. And I went to pick it up, and I'm in line, and he's showing them to me, and I'm paying him. And there's a girl in front of me, and he holds up the shirt to her, and he goes, "What do you think of this?" And she goes, "Oh, it's great." And he goes, "That's for her his podcast." And she turns around, and she goes, "That's great." I had no clue who she was. She leaves. And he goes, "That's the girl from the show." I'm like, "Oh, my God." But she didn't look like
Kevin. That's cool.
And then her real boyfriend, the guy, Winona Ryder's son, he and I smoked cigarettes in Cabbage Town, too. That's my claim to fame with Stranger Things. And I did watch the first 2 seasons. Noped out in season 3. And I will say that I am watching Timu Stranger Things, which is what I'm calling it, Welcome to Derry, which just went off the fucking ledge.
Yeah. But
anyway, continue.
Well, it's been great. What'd you guys think? I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I liked that.
I liked it. I thought that the theories that all came out after the end of last season, because everything boils down to Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
If you follow that, it would actually tell you what's going to happen. I like it as far as a continuation of the story. It does take you out of it a little bit, the shocking look of all the people, especially Lucas. He looks like he walked off of an NBA court like right now. He was the skinny little kid in the last one.
Yeah.
And now he looks like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
So in the last season, she had to roll a 20. To beat Vecna before they named Vecna Vecna, they were just playing D&D. So you've got number 11, then you've got her sister number 8, and now you've got either Henry Creel, who is Vecna, but who still might be partly Henry Creel. Like he maybe,
just like
maybe
Will
he'll,
was
he'll be
part.
A good part of him.
Yeah.
Or you've got somebody that's able to use his powers when they're close to the hive mind. So if you add those numbers together,
it's rolling a 20.
It's rolling a 20.
Yeah.
Oh. What happened to Barb, by the way?
She's dead.
Barb's
dead.
Gone.
All right.
It's the only person that he's killed, that they've killed, that there's not a reason.
Yeah.
Or that he's taken where there's no reason. Maybe they will explain a reason. I don't know.
Personally, I think that was a writer's room thing. Barb was a throwaway character. They never thought that everybody would fall in love with Barb. And now they're going to have to, you know, they decided not to retcon it, at least so far. You know, it'd be hilarious if Barb was, you know, the one that's pulling.
It was Barb all along.
Yeah, it was Barb all along.
Well, I'll have to get caught up and we'll talk more about it, of course, because
showing the finale in theaters.
Mm-hmm. Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, 2 or 3 days.
We do have our own Christmas special that we're working on. We'll get to it before the end of the year, before Christmas time. It's called The Christmas Turkey That Waited, and it looks like ChatGPT wrote it for Jeff. Unless Jeff wrote it. Did you write it all yourself, or did you use ChatGPT?
What?
The turkey story.
Oh.
Or did Dustin come up with that?
I didn't know where it came from. I was looking at it going, where did this come from?
Yeah, well, who the fuck put it in the document?
It wasn't me.
Well, then it was Jeff, because I was asking.
Yeah, it had to be Jeff. I think Jeff's trying to make himself feel better for not eating my mom's turkey. But the thing is in the story, I think the high stakes for the turkey would be wanting to be eaten by Jeff, not just wanting to be eaten by
anyone.
Lizzie's family. Yeah. No, the turkey wants, that's its dream. It wants to get eaten by Jeff.
Well, we'll do a short rendition of our soon-to-be classic, The Christmas Turkey That Waited. I love that title.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is
Don't read the comment card.
Anyway, we take your YouTube comments. We love them. We want you to leave them, so we'll go through them real quick. From last week's episode, Roby wrote, I knew you guys would react to my Miracle Whip. If you had been raised on it like myself, it would be ambrosia to you. We had it. That's in our school. I used to argue with the lunch ladies because they would have subs. You know, it would be sub day. And they would have Miracle Whip instead of mayonnaise. And I'd say, do you have any mayonnaise? No, they didn't. She goes, well, it's right there. I go, that ain't mayonnaise. That's Miracle Whip. And then argue with them for no reason. I was a dick. Fuxi says, Best in Show is far superior to all the other movies. I remember when the movie came out, Christopher Guest was interviewed by Terry Gross on NPR. He talked about how they put a call out for show dogs and handlers. One of the dog handlers refused to participate because their dog wouldn't have lost to Winky, the Norwich Terrier. Guest said, but in the movie, your dog will lose to him. And the handler said, no, he won't. So Guest thanked them, fired them, and used a different dog. Roby also said, in reference to trashed fans annoying comedians, I believe Tim has told a story many times of being trashed and heckling one of his favorite comedians. Yes, I did. I think I talked about it last week, Norm MacDonald. I think that was very sad of me to do. And I apologize to you, Norm, in heaven. I wasn't heckling him. I was just quoting him from SNL like a drunk ass. Hey,
I think that's the same as heckling, though. Like you're interrupting his show.
Yes, and I was in the front row, which was also stupid of me. Lizzie, do you use Elf on the Shelf, the Elf on the Shelf?
Yeah, we have those elves, some form of elves, yeah.
Dustin, your kids, no, you're the two grown up.
No, we had them, though. We had them for our daughter, yeah, the Elf on the Shelf. And we'd do crazy stuff. We'd do a zip line across the living room, and it's
the elves would do it, right?
Yeah.
Yes, and my sister Mandy, her kids are grown up, and she asked Al if he wanted to babysit for a little bit her elves. So now I have like 7 elves and they're destroying my house. And Mandy's like, I don't want them back. I'm like, I'm bringing you your elves back. Okay.
Be sure you TP your house when you drop them off.
I'm going to stuff them in her mailbox. I'm like, get them out of here. They had a snowball fight with Flower the other night in my kitchen, completely destroyed it.
God, we only have one. And his mischief is he couldn't open up Rice Krispie treats. But the power that they wield, I love the power that they wield, especially with a 4.5-year-old who every morning when he gets up, he wants to eat his breakfast and watch TV, which we all did. On Monday morning, I got up and I said, you know, Frankie, that's the elf's name, wants to watch old episodes of Sesame Street. I put the elf up to where he can look at the TV, and we're watching Sesame Streets from the early 80s and late 70s. And those videos are cool. You know, they're all written by hippies, not weirdo millennials. So it's a cool thing. And he's actually digging it. He likes the animation. And it's much different, of course. It's not HD. And, of course, there's no violence.
So it's slower moving, which is good for the kids.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But you're right. That's very important, is that it's slow. And he's enwrapped. You know what I mean? Because, like, he watches these other things, and he's just slack-jawed. But he's asking questions when he's watching these. And he's going, he says, who do you like? And I said, my favorite's Grover. And he's like, which one's Grover? And I said, he's the blue guy with the red lips. I said, he's funny. And he liked it. And he knows Bert and Ernie. And he does keep asking me, where's Elmo? And so finally, I put on an episode with Elmo. And it's all about feel. There's nothing. They're not learning anything. They're just talking about feelings and let's make something. And it's him and Big Bird. Anyway, I love the Elf on a Shelf. And there's a show, and I'm only really bringing it up because I interviewed the ladies that live in Snellville, the ladies that invented it. And that's a cool interview. I did that on my show, The Popcast, which you can find. Also with Lake Bell, talking about her neurodivergent book that I'm buying. Hey, before we go, I want to remind you that you can become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member. How about that? Radio Labyrinth listeners, you radios, you can support us for the low, low cost of $5 a month. Only $5 a month. That's it. That's the only tier moving forward. You can keep it where it was before or lower it to $5, whatever you want to do. And this is aside from the executive producers. If you're paying more and want to reduce it, go ahead. Tariffs are hitting us hard.
No, they're not. I mean, they're beautiful. The economy's great.
And for anyone on the fence or looking to support us, make sure you add your address to the Patreon profile so we can get it and mail you a thank you letter and our latest sticker, which all went out last week. and for the executive producers. We'd love to have you join us as guests on Radios in the Dark. So far, we've had Mike Hall from Atlanta Pizza in Euro and another special guest coming up soon. But it's your show, and you help us keep it going with your generous donations, and we'd love to have you join us for the live Patreon show, Radios in the Dark. For $25 a month, you become a producer, an executive producer, that's your title, and you'll get a sticker, a shirt of your choice from our merch store, and a weekly shout-out on the show, plus the aforementioned opportunity to sit in with us while we record the live Patreon show. So without any further ado, let's thank our most recent additions to the producer column. Pat Squatch Talk Turner, and I will give you a plug for your podcast, Squatch Talk, Pat Turner. Scott Augustine. We also have Mike Walker, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and DJ Chelsea Smith. So thank you guys very much for supporting us. Hey, that's it. Please leave us comments. We don't have time for anything else. We're going to take a break. And of course, if you're a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, you can always join us on the live show. And we're doing one tonight with Brett Perkins from LDI Repro Printing. He's been a sponsor for a very long time, and he's going to join us. And you can watch that on the Patreon page. So you could do that if you become a Patreon member. Remember to like, rate, and review us on Spotify and always, or Apple or whatever. And we didn't have time, so maybe next week we can talk about our wrap-ups or whatever. Does everybody use Spotify?
Yeah. I have YouTube Music, but it does the same thing.
All right, we'll talk about our recaps because mine says I'm 97 years old. So we'll talk about it next week. I'll make a note to do that next week. Please remember to do all that stuff. And if you're watching us on YouTube, leave a comment, please. We love reading them. Have fun with it. And like and subscribe and share it with all your friends and all that stuff. So until next week, please remember to...
Keep it canon.
They say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the radio labyrinth. And we gotta rock it like we're still young kids. Yeah. Laughing at the world, but jokes never fade. Never fade away. And at the radio labyrinth, we'll never be swayed.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.